The U.S. National Park Service turned 100 years old this week. Quite the milestone. Our commitment here to protecting vast areas of wilderness has inspired other countries to do the same. Yellowstone was, after all, the first national park, not just in the U.S., in the world. So on social media, we asked about your experiences in parks overseas. We got a ton of responses. Made us kind of jealous, to be honest. Here's a sample. Ann Bonner Carpenter wrote to us on Facebook to tell us about visiting the Glenveagh National Park in Donegal, Ireland. She told us about touring the castle there, seeing some step dancing, and even meeting a local celebrity she believes she's related to. Another listener told us about a time he visited Los Aitises National Park in the Dominican Republic. His family paid a fisherman to take them across Samaná Bay in his boat. They didn't share a common language, but managed to spend the day talking about baseball and exploring caves lined with centuries-old pictographs. We're still interested in hearing more about the national parks you visited and what you've done there. Hit us up on Facebook. Just look for The World. As I said, our national parks have served as a model for other countries trying to set up their own networks of protected spaces. China is quietly planning its own national park system, its first ever. And like Costa Rica and India, the Chinese are looking to America.
I know that they visited several locations in the U.S., and they're basically trying to get ideas on how U.S. parks are managed. Because right now, what China has are a smattering of lands that are run mostly by provincial and local governments.
That's Beijing-based journalist Kathleen McLaughlin. She's written for Science magazine about China's relatively late start in building a nationwide network of parks.
China was catching up economically for the past 30 years in so many ways that national parks were a luxury that it didn't have the time or the money to plan. And now they finally do, and they've recognized the importance of setting aside wild spaces.
So what do we know so far about what they've planned for their park system?
Well, they're considering somewhere around 24 sites for parks, and they're really looking closely at the U.S. park system. So they're looking at anything from urban national parks, like you would see at the National Mall in Washington, on up to this particular park that I wrote about, which is intended to try and conserve and expand the population of Siberian tigers and Siberian leopards. And that park would be 15,000 square kilometers, which is actually more than double the size of Yellowstone. Four of the potential proposed parks in China are intended to preserve large mammals, cats in the northeast, elephants in the southwest, pandas in the west, and Tibetan antelopes.
So tell us about the place you went in northeast China where this land is being set aside to protect some Siberian tigers and leopards, the few that remain there. What's that area like now, and how's the government transforming it?
Well, for China, it's actually pretty wild. It's a lot of dense forests on the border with Siberia and North Korea. The challenges that they have faced there in the past few decades have had to do with logging and poaching mainly. And really what they're trying to do is, A, stop the poaching. And then number two is they have banned logging across two provinces. So they're really trying to protect the natural state of the forest and get the forest to come back. I will say that when I was visiting this tiger park area with the scientists, we actually saw wild deer. And this is the first time in all my years in China that I have seen wild deer in a forest in China. So that tells me that it's a healthy forest.
Wow. So does that suggest that it's already working?
It did to me. But I will say there's a lot more evidence than just that. At this point, if they preserve the amount of land they want to preserve, global tiger experts are saying they might be able to create enough space for 150 Siberian tigers in the wild.
Does that strike you as reasonable? Because as you write, there are only 27 Siberian tigers left that live in this part of China. Can one park be enough to revive that population?
My understanding from talking to the experts is that if it's done correctly, it can work.
So you describe one scene at the end of your article in which a female leopard is now settled in a deserted village. But it occurs to me that if the animals, and you've alluded to this, the animals are now protected, what is going to happen to the people who live in what is now a big cat park and all the other people in areas where China is planning parks?
Right. Well, that's a really interesting question. And China being China, they can hire a lot of people. So in this particular park, they are planning to turn 30,000 former loggers and forest workers into Park Service employees. And they're doing the same thing in the planned park that is meant to protect Tibetan antelope. They're actually training Tibetan nomads to become park workers as well. So if they can pull this off, it could be a massive change for these areas in China, and they might end up with really protected big wild lands like the U.S. has.
Kathleen McLaughlin is a reporter based in Beijing. Thanks very much for telling us about this.
Thanks, Marco.